from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
In the midst of a New York Yankee game, how are we doing? If you're looking for the Yankee game, it is on 660 AM. They currently lead the Chicago Cubs 3-0 in the top of the seventh inning. They are 9 outs away from winning a game against the Chicago Cubs. And I will say there is one piece of news that is coming out of this Yankee game right now. And I think it's going to affect a lot of people's opinions, Tiki. I think we're going to see a lot of flip-flopping right now. You ready for this?
Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Luis Gil has returned from the injured list.
And he's in the bullpen?
And his day should be done. And his day, because he's at 89 pitches, I assume that would be enough. Here is his pitching line for tonight, or this afternoon. 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 runs, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks.
So that means he's not going to be in the bullpen.
Do you want to stick that in your bullpen?
No, of course I don't. So that means Clark Schmidt's going to be in the bullpen.
It means that if you have a guy who's that damn good as a starting pitcher, do you really want to – relegate doesn't feel like the right word.
It means Inésio Cortés is going to be in the bullpen.
It means that Luis Gil shouldn't be in the bullpen.
Right.
If he's going to pitch on that level, and this is a good Cub team, a Cub team that's playing very good baseball, a Cub team that's scoring a billion runs, if you're going to pitch on that level and the level we saw earlier this season – he's your number two starter in the American League postseason.
No, I agree with you. And it makes sense. I mean, that's kind of what the beginning of the season told us. And back then, we were kind of debating whether or not he was going to be on a pitch count or
right.
if there's going to be an innings limit or whether or not he would get through the full season as a full-time starter. And he's clearly proven that he's capable. Now, he had a couple of small IL stints, but – who cares? He came back and he was still the same player.
There were only, to me, two ways, because we talked about Luis Gil for the bullpen since April. This is not a newer right. discussion. There were two ways that would convince me, at least, A, he's better used in the bullpen. Number one, the innings restriction, you just hit on it. Clearly, the Yankees aren't doing that. Nope. He also just had a rest.
And by the way, they told us that? We just didn't want to listen.
Yeah, we don't want to listen. Well, sometimes they tell us stuff and we really don't want to listen. And the other reason would be if I view other starters as better options, and hey, this is just better for my team to move him to the bullpen. When you look at the unreliability of Carlos Rodon and the unreliability of Marcus Stroman and the unreliability of Nestor Cortez, and we'll see about Clark Schmidt, he's coming back tomorrow. Luis Gil probably is your number two starter.
Mm-hmm.
On what planet would any team take their number two starter and say, we're going to use you out of the bullpen?
All right, that conversation is dead then, because we talked about it.
Sean, is it dead?
As short as 3 days ago, we were talking about this. It is no longer a conversation point.
Wasn't a conversation for me. He's got to start. He's the second-best starter. Now, when we replayed that Cinco de Five at the beginning of the week, there was another name in there. Do you remember, Evan?
Ian Hamilton. They're activating him this weekend.
Tomorrow, coming back from the IL on the same week, we go closer by committee here. Hamilton's going to be a big factor for this team.
Well, I think everyone's going to be a big factor because they're going to use a multitude of arms to try to figure out end-of-game scenarios, including this game right now, which we'll keep you posted on, because Luis Gil gave you 6 scoreless innings, and they have a 3-0 lead, and assuming he's pulled after 89 pitches, they're going to find a way
Holmes
to get 9 outs.
Holmes is closing this game.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Is he pulled out? Is he out of the game, though?
I am making an assumption that at 89 pitches through 6, Aaron Boone, first start off the IL, is going to stop. But we will see.
You don't know.
Top of the seventh inning again. We'll let you know.
We'll find out shortly.
If the lead remains at 3 and doesn't get this, you're going to see Clay Holmes. They will not bring him into a 1-run game, 3-run game. They will have Clay Holmes close.
I believe Clay Holmes will pitch in the 7th or 8th inning. I do not. I think he'll pitch today to try to get him back on track. And certainly a high-leverage spot. It's a save situation. I don't think he's going to pitch the 9th inning. So it's a friendly disagreement, if you will.
By the way, we came to a understanding now that the Bob Papa that we were hearing was actually Bob Papa. Because Bob Papa is in the building. We thought it was recording. Because why would he be here rehearsing for Sunday?
Because he's a hard worker.
I know he's, of course he's a hard worker. We used to call him like he had every job.
I know.
It was possible.
Then he started giving up jobs, including that Nets job, which I told you guys about. He used to be the voice of the New Jersey Nets.
He did.
True story.
He did. But Bob Papa is in the building. We're starting to see some of these guys get here early and trickle in. As Evan told us a while ago, we'll have a bunch of the legends on air, including the owner of the New York Giants.
Oh.
Hopefully the owner of the New York Giants, John Mara.
Mr. Mara. I got a lot of questions for him. A lot of interesting ones that I've been like in my brain for the last five years.
I might not allow you to ask him a question.
What?
Wow.
But they're good questions. Can I clear them with you?
Maybe, yes. You clear them with me, then I'll let you sit in the presence and have a conversation with Mr. Merritt.
All right, very good. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Lewis in Brooklyn. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, long time listener of FAN, and I've actually come up with a reason for the Giants fans to be optimistic with this year.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm seeing a lot of similarities to another year. There was a year where most of the rhetoric on the fan was the Jets literally had all the positive energy. It was like, the Jets were like playoff or Super Bowl, and mediocre was the best thing I could hope for with the Giants. A lot of people saying the Jets had the quarterback situation figured out, and the Giants needed to draft a quarterback because they had a first rounder who was not panning out.
Right.
The real eerie similarity was the Giants had a running back who previously was basically their whole offense,
right,
and that running back left.
Okay.
Just like this year.
Okay.
And that year ended up pretty good at the end with the Giants winning a Super Bowl. They even had a holdout situation with defensive ends. There are a lot of similarities. So
Hold on a second. I don't like that. Let me tell you why. I'm deeply offended that you would compare my guy retiring to that traitorous, you're dead to us, bleep, Saquon Barkley. I am offended by that. I don't see him 14th on this list. Do you, Teague?
No. He's on the list, though.
Oh, yeah, where is he on that list?
90.
That coward Saquon Barkley.
Hold your tongue, Bad Tiki. Hold your tongue.
So he's
90? He's 90-something.
He was like 95, 98.
Yeah,
something. I mean, come on. That's adorable. 95, 98. I appreciate and respect trying to find comparisons to the past. I love that. I really do. But comparing Eli and Daniel Jones, no. Comparing Tiki and Saquon, no. And even comparing the rest of the talent on this team, I'll tell you one thing I would buy. I'm not putting, Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence and Kayvon in the Hall of Fame quite yet, but I do think that's going to be the identity of this team. And they have a chance to have an excellent pass rush. And they have a chance for the defense, despite the questions in their secondary, to turn into the strength of this team. So I can buy at least that, I guess.
Oh, of course, but they need to stop the run first.
Yeah.
It's always about stopping the run and then getting after the passer. But stopping the run's got to be first, because that's where the Giants were just taking advantage of a year ago. And you would hope that, given this new system that Shane Bowen's putting in, that that's going to be their priority. So, I mean, as long as they do that and teams don't, last year you didn't have to throw the ball, really, to beat the Giants. You could grind it out.
Yeah.
That needs to change.
Yeah. The Yankees pull Luis Sela after six innings, and Jake Cousins gets the first crack in the seventh inning of this game.
Clay's closing today.
If Clay Holmes is closing this game, and dare I say blows this game, I don't know. There may be like...
Well, that's when Dominguez comes up tomorrow.
there's no way Clay Holmes is closing. There's no way.
Yeah, I disagree.
I'm telling you, three-run lead, not a one-run lead, he's closing this game.
Brian Cashman has become such a troll that I could see him on that phone at Wrigley Field calling down a Boone saying, whatever you do, I want Clay pitching the ninth inning.
Remember, he never said Holmes was never going to close again. It was depending on the situation.
No, I get that. I get that. And I would say that there would be situations where Clay would close. To me, today would not be a situation.
He's not even warming up for the eighth.
So when will you feel comfortable with Clay Holmes coming in, Sean? Two more runs?
I actually am comfortable with this three-run lead.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not comfortable with the one-run lead.
All right.
Let's go
to... going
to
leave it there.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. God, I would love to be on the air to see Clay Holmes and just see how you react. I don't wish that upon my friends. We're Yankee fans, but for this guy, yes. Phil in Shirley, New York. What's up, Phil?
What's going on, boys?
That's good.
This longtime Giant hater, but I got to get my opinion on the Giants right here.
Okay.
I think that their defensive line, obviously, big time improved. Offensive line, I think, is going to be better. The weapons they have. But when push comes to shove, guys, Daniel Jones is the quarterback. I don't mind playing this team twice a year. I just don't think they're going to win more than 7 games max. I think that he's terrible and he's holding them back.
Well, it's funny you say that because that's better than what most people think.
Yeah.
7 games is better than most.
That would hit the over.
But again, this comes back to what we were talking about early with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, he kind of has to be great in order for – and I don't mean everybody around him's got to be – but he himself has to be great. Otherwise, this Giants team, just like any team with a quarterback situation, they're going to struggle. And so you just can't get away with it in this league anymore to have – I don't know, someone who's not a difference maker behind under center.
Are people aware that Daniel Jones was pretty good 2 years ago? Like, did people forget that happened when Marcus Johnson and David Sills and the shell of Kenny Golladay were still on the roster at wide receiver?
But he was pretty good a couple years ago, but he wasn't one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Right. Well, the point is, though, the offensive line still was and they didn't have a wide receiving core like this, and he was really good, obviously, on the ground with his
legs. I think the problem is that we have a recency bias, and recently, that is last year, Daniel Jones, when he played, was terrible.
No doubt about it.
Now, you can easily, or you could try to explain that away based on the injuries, based on, well, Andrew Thomas, the offensive line.
No, but he was still bad.
It was less the injuries and more the ineptness of the offensive
line. Right. Yeah. Well, yes, I think it was both, because I think Andrew Thomas being hurt is like an absolute killer when it comes to it.
I mean, the same thing happened in San Francisco. We were talking about their left tackle, and when he was hurt, why am I forgetting his name?
Trent Williams.
When he was hurt, they didn't win.
Yeah.
Right.
And they were in the Super Bowl last year. Last year when Trent Williams didn't play, they did not
win.
But
I think for the most part, when Daniel Jones is healthy, he's decent.
Yes.
That's what he is. He's not terrible like our last caller described.
And he's never going to be elite.
I don't think he's ever going to be elite. I don't think he's ever going to be great.
But he doesn't need to be.
No, I mean, look, a few years ago, they won a playoff game on the road. I mean, that's something, and that was accomplished with him as quarterback of the team.
Who did they win that game versus?
The team they're playing this weekend.
Gotcha.
The overrated Minnesota. Actually, the Vikings aren't even overrated. I don't think anyone expects them to be very good.
No, they're picked to finish last in the North.
Last in the North. Yeah, that's my prediction, too. I released my predictions yesterday.
I saw this.
What did you think of my overall predictions? I put it out on social media.
That's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I went out on the limb on some things. Like, I picked Washington to win the NFC East.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I picked the Rams to win the NFC.
But I only say that because it doesn't really matter.
Of course it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. The one thing I do like to do is we all make predictions at the beginning of seasons, but I think it's really important to own if you're right or you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So the day the season ends, I put the same tweet out there with the same predictions and say, here's how I did. And most of the time it's, what an idiot. You thought the Bears were going to win 10 games, you schmuck. But it's all about accountability, T.
The Bears might win 10 games.
I'm high on the Bears. They have They have so much talent on offense. And, look, do I believe in Caleb Williams? I don't really know.
How can you know? Even if he looked really good in the preseason, how the heck can you know?
Here's what I do know. And it goes back to something you said a little earlier in the show, because Tiki got heated a couple of times. One of the times he got heated is when I was bad-mouthing Sam Darnold. And you could rewind on the Odyssey app to about 2:45. And you talked about coaching and you talked about being in the right situation.
Yes.
I think that Caleb Williams, from a coaching but more so a talent perspective around him, is in a solid position to succeed. He's not being set up to fail the way some other young quarterbacks are set up to fail. And so from that standpoint, I lean towards this will work out in the short term.
In the short term, I think you're right. He's got a new offensive coordinator there. Eberflus stayed, but the new coordinator is Shane Waldron, who just had the pleasure of, I don't want to say fixing, but getting Geno Smith right out up in Seattle. Now, you know, part of that was the quarterback coach, who is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Dave Canales?
Canales was the quarterback coach, and that's why he got that job really quickly. The people can't figure out why Dave Canales got hired as a head coach when most people didn't know his name 2 years ago.
So he only had 1 year in Tampa?
He had only 1 year in Tampa, but people didn't know why he got that job. The reason is because he was the quarterback coach under Shane Waldron, and he got Geno Smith to play really good football. Last year, Baker Mayfield played really good football, and so coming to Carolina and trying to, let's call it fix, because that's the best word to use, Bryce Young, who had a really horrific first season, you hire the guy that can do it. And so
save Bryce Young maybe is the better word.
Right, maybe save Bryce Young from disaster being a first overall bust. So just back to Chicago, I like the room that they have around their young quarterback.
Darren in Englewood. What's up, Darren?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Love the show.
Up,
first of all, no chance dipping dots are actually ice cream, but that's not why I called.
Agreed.
So,
what is it then? Just ice balls that are
ice balls
that are flavored with something?
Not for me. So I'm as big of a football, you know, chunky as anyone, but they can never play NFL games like every day. It would be a ton of fun, but it would be a scheduling disaster. It's already a huge disadvantage for teams playing, you know, Sunday and Thursday night. They try not to have anyone play,
right?
You know, Monday night and then
and
Thursday
that's the biggest
night.
Deal.
It would be
that's
impossible
the biggest
to figure
deal.
Out.
It would be so hard to have fairness among scheduling if that was if you were playing or trying to play every night.
If
there's no way it would be fair.
If I can't sleep tonight, because sometimes in the middle of the night, Tiki, I cannot sleep.
Yeah.
And I try to be productive. Like my attitude is, what am I going to do? I'm just going to lay here? No, I'm going to do something. If I can't sleep tonight, I can lay out easily a mock schedule on how they could pull off teams playing every day.
Stop. You couldn't.
Please go to sleep tonight.
Yes. Easily.
I'm a loser.
I think it's completely overblown. Like,
yeah,
you totally can do
it. But you know what's going to happen is that players are going to start complaining about it. And, I mean, we see this in every – like, this is happening in European soccer right now because they play too many games with, you know, the league cups mm-hmm. and the club season. Like, and there's so much stuff that goes on.
Right.
The country cups, all these things. These guys are dead by the end of the season. And that's soccer.
Yeah,
that's not hitting
yeah,
anybody.
I'm gonna put.
There's no way. There's no way that's gonna happen.
I'm gonna rub two fingers together. Can you describe what I'm doing to the audience?
Yeah, of course. It's a violin.
It's all,
but
no.
I don't hear it.
No,
the money.
No.
The money.
You weren't looking. It was the money.
The money.
You didn't do a violin.
I was assuming it was a violin, like Cry Me a River.
Tiki would not look at what I was doing with my hands. He refused and made an assumption.
I did make an assumption.
Speaking of money, did you pick up on something last night?
We're talking about the football game now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It felt like last night was the Super Bowl commercial-wise. It was like we got inundated with funny commercials, constant commercial breaks, where it felt like the Super Bowl.
Well, it's better it's better to buy that commercial
yeah.
than the Super Bowl commercial.
There were several.
Better investment.
Because you know everybody's watching.
Yeah, they were all new funny commercials.
The Peyton Manning one, the Peyton was hilarious.
Peyton.
How about the Saquon Barkley one with the little girl with the Eagles jersey, which
problem.
I think was NFL Shop?
I didn't watch a single commercial.
Are you serious?
Night.
So no, this little girl's wearing an Eagle jersey, Barkley, and she right. walks into the family, a Giant fan sitting there.
Oh, that's been out for a while.
Really? I hadn't seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it either.
And basically they're like, oh, what are you doing? She goes,
I go where Saquon goes.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen that. The truth is I don't watch commercials. Last night I was glued to Braves Rockies during commercials. What? And I don't want to hear a sigh from you, Loogie. You're the one texting us. How about the Rockies? So obviously you were paying attention to the game.
He
don't
was
act
not
like I was
watching
doing something
it, though.
Crazy.
He was just looking at it
he
on
wasn't.
His phone.
He wasn't. We were in a separate group chat. In which I alerted Lou Gower, hey, Mets in a wild card spot, and then he went to our
chat. So you were watching it.
I was on top of things.
Okay, yes.
I'm on top of it, but I'm not watching it. I'm
but
just checking
no
it out on my phone.
But there's no need for commercials. Like, that's the world I live in now when it comes to sports. And I hate to say that because I know I'm sure networks are like, oh, my God, that can't happen. Well, it does because you can consume other things at the same time. So, like, last night with the Mets gaining ground on everybody, it was easy to not have my eyes glued on products they want you to buy. What a world. So I have no regrets not seeing commercials.
Don't worry.
Night.
You'll get it served to you on social media.
You're totally right about that, Teague.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, every time I check Twitter, like for news, just in case Brian Cashman says anything else that's dumb. You know what I've been getting hit with a lot lately?
What's that?
A service where you can look up what people's party affiliation is.
What?
And I'm like, why are they targeting me with this? So I started doing it. Like, I started playing with the game. I started looking up my mother-in-law. I started looking up my dad.
Yeah. What? So just anybody?
Yeah, you could
like
look.
In theory, you could look up me?
So here's the thing, Teague. I did it because they got me. See, these kind of marketing actually works. TV commercials don't work because the truth is they give you a commercial. I still have to get up and do something to buy the product.
Right.
If you do it on social media and there's a link right there, I can buy the product immediately.
Right. The conversion happens immediately.
So I'm admitting that kind of advertising works a lot better on me.
And you're wondering why the NFL is going to all streaming stuff.
No, I know.
Things that you can get on your phone.
Of
I can watch this on my phone.
Oh,
wait, there's a product? Oh, I'd love that.
Of course.
That depends, whatever it may happen to be.
That's where you went?
Just, I don't know.
So I did click on the service, and I filled out all the information, and then they started asking for your information, and that's when I got out. And I was like, I'm not doing this.
Oh, so that's how they get everybody.
Yeah.
They make you give information so that you can populate the database for somebody else who's trying to also get information.
That's exactly what they do. It's a very, very
sneaky.
Very sneaky, clever process.
That's phishing.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live on this inaugural Football Friday of 2024, the Giants in action on Sunday. Us Jet fans have to wait until Monday. We are live from MetLife Stadium today here at the Legacy Club at MetLife. Today is the Big Giant Fan Festival coming up at 6 o'clock. We will remain on the air through the 6 o'clock hour from 6 to 7, and we'll talk to some Giant legends. The Yankees are currently on the 660 side. They lead 3-0 with Tommy Kahnle taking over duties in the eighth inning. So Sean's prediction that he made a few minutes ago may turn out to be right. Clay Holmes may get another save opportunity days after Aaron Boone said, yeah, we're going to reevaluate the closer's role, because Jake Cousins pitched the seventh, and Tommy Kahnle right now is trying to get through the eighth inning against the Chicago Cubs, which probably sets up Clay Holmes pitching the ninth. But something happened earlier in the day that has caused Yankee fans to go ablaze. In fact, I know what Brian Cashman said was so over the line. You know how I know it was over the line?
How?
Because there are people in your life, people that you know, that you go to find out, was that too crazy? So when Brian Cashman said earlier, look, Alex Verdugo is here because he gives us the better chance to win over Jason Dominguez. I knew the regular suspects would be pissed off, but I needed to check in on our overnight host, also known as Brian Cashman's secretary, Chris Big Mac McMonagle. And I wanted to see how Big Mac reacted to this Brian Cashman comment. Like, I already knew what BT would say. I already knew what Sean Morash would say. I already knew what John Boy would say. I already knew. No offense to them, but they've made their opinions clear. What is the secretary? What is the person?
The Secretary of Defense.
That's right. What would the Secretary of Defense say about Brian Cashman? And Tiki, Sean, he turned on him. This
really?
Is unacceptable. What are we doing? Cashman's an idiot. Maybe he should be fired. I don't think he ever actually said that. Mm-hmm. But that's he said that too. That's how egregious Brian Cashman's comments were. Because he told us something that our eyes and our brain disagree with. He told us that the worst left fielder in baseball, and statistically he's been that for the last few months, he told us that guy is a better option and gives us a better chance to win than a guy that you built up as one of the best prospects in baseball, nicknamed the Martian, who had 4 hits last night, is hitting the crap out of the ball the last couple of days. You told us that the worst left fielder in baseball gives us a better option to win than the guy that you're hyping to the moon. You're insulting our intelligence.
No, I think he's insulting your belief in someone who hasn't proven it on an MLB
but
level
yet. But Verdugo has the other way.
He has. Well, right now he's not playing great.
You're
yes,
right.
Yes. And so because of that, it's easy to want the alternative. And I think that's what you're up against. But Brian Cashman, and I guess Aaron Boone to an extent as well, they have to do what they feel in their gut gives them the best chance to
They're
win.
Wrong.
And it's having a veteran. How often do young players come up in this Yankee organization, at least? I know other teams have done it very well, and just they rake when they need you to.
Dominguez last year.
Okay. Tell me what pressure was.
There was none.
Exactly. It meant literally nothing last year for him to be up here. It was great for his experience, but it meant nothing for the team. This is a high-pressure situation that you're trying to throw a kid in. Now, if he has success, you'll be proven right. But if you fail, what does that do?
It would be the same as what's happening now. If he failed, it would give you the same production you're getting right now.
Mm-hmm.
This was an insulting comment by Brian Cashman. It was. I try to be fair about
right,
this.
But they believe that.
Okay. I don't. Brian is a brilliant baseball man. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay, I have deep respect for what this man has accomplished as a Major League Baseball general manager.
So how can you knock him that when he? I think he genuinely believes that he's what he's saying is
there's something off about this.
There's something off about this. Are they that – maybe they don't believe in Jason Dominguez.
Well, if they
maybe
don't –
maybe it comes down to that.
If they don't believe in Jason Dominguez, based on everything we saw last year and based on the fact that he's hitting home runs seemingly every other night right now.
So is Brett Beatty. You want to bring him up?
I don't know. But
I'm asking
I'm going to answer that question because that's a great question. First of all, Jason Dominguez has not failed as a major leaguer with 500 plate appearances the way Brett Beatty has. So I want to mm-hmm. give you proper context. If the Mets were getting the worst production in baseball at a position that Brett Beatty could play, oh, hell yeah, I'd say call him up. They are getting, and this is not hyperbole, these are numbers. And you don't have to like the numbers, that's fine, you don't have to like them. Alex Verdugo, over the last few months, has been the worst left fielder in baseball. It's what he's been. So, yeah, if I was forced with that versus a prospect who missed a lot of time due to injury, mm-hmm. who some of his numbers, deeper numbers, weren't great since he's come back, but has been hot the last few days, I would absolutely take the flyer on. Let me get him up here, and let me let him play, and let me see if this works.
There's also a hypocrisy element to this with Brian Cashman. If this is really how he feels, and our eyes are all telling us how bad Alex Verdugo is, then stop prospect hugging at the trade deadline and go more all in. Be more open to selling Jason Dominguez at the deadline for a Tanner Scott or something like that, where Yankees aren't a spot.
But he can't do that because he knows that Alex Verdugo is not his long term solution. He knows that Alex Verdugo potentially is his short term solution.
So why is he hugging him?
Because he doesn't trust Dominguez yet. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing he said that bothers me, and it's just a disagreement that I have with him, is he said, we won't call him up if he can't play every day. Well, I disagree with that. It's September. You're trying to win a pennant race. He doesn't have to play every single day. If he hits, he plays. If he doesn't hit, you're not force-feeding him into the lineup. So I also disagree with that philosophy. I think you should have the 26 best players on your roster. And it's a big mistake. Now, the Yankees are winning today, and as long as they win, the Yankee fans will calm down just a tad. But that kind of comment is a very – it's an insulting comment because you're telling us something that's just not true.
It also goes back to something Tiki yelled at us, I think, fairly last hour. It's a stupid fan take. I think was that the quote when it came to an NFL argument?
Yes, very much so.
He was talking to you, Sean.
Which is fine. We've gotten to the point in the Yankee season – where the fans are starting to look right on a lot of comments. And to me, and maybe I am being completely crazy, it's starting to feel like Brian Cashman, in collaboration with Aaron Boone, don't want to do anything the fans are pounding the table for because they don't want to continue to make the fans look like they know more than what the general manager
So what you're suggesting is we as fans...
We got to shut up.
Don't mention
Jason Dominguez's name for a week and he'll be here.
I was going to say,
to win it.
What if we talk about how great Alex Verdugo
right,
is?
Right, pound the table. Cash, please, do not. No, look, we see it with our own eyes.
The Yankee organization despises their fans so much, they make moves to spite you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting out of you.
Yes, okay. They are.
Yeah.
I mean, Verdugo's had a hit almost every day.
He's been relatively hot over the last seven days.
The stats are deceiving. While he's had hits, he still continues to kill rallies for this team with double plays.
And also, Tiki, it comes down to this. When do you want to look at it? Over the last 2 months, he's been awful. Over the last week, he's been better.
Yeah, two weeks, he's been fine. Okay. Last month, he's been awful. But, I mean, that happens. It's baseball,
okay,
right?
Okay, tell me Jason Dominguez's numbers the last 2 days against the Syracuse Mets.
I haven't looked at Jason Dominguez.
He's tearing it up.
And he's also playing the Syracuse Mets.
Well, that's all he's allowed to face right now, right?
LOL Mets, even in the minors.
Stop it. Stop.
888-808-1019. John is in Maspeth. What's up, John?
You know, I'm tired of Brian Cashman. This guy just insults us. He deserves to be punched in the goddamn face.
Well,
I might go do it on Monday. Go buy a ticket.
Don't do
you
that.
No, I'm not even watching the game. I'm done watching games. Well, until Dominguez is here.
Don't
I'm
do
done.
That, though. But wait a second. If you do that.
They're winning 3-0 right now. Yeah. What is it? The top of the top of the eighth?
It is the top of the ninth. They're actually three outs away from winning this game against Chicago.
Right.
There's a lot of people bad at their jobs. None of them deserve to be punched in the face because they're bad at their job.
Right.
I agree with that.
Sean is almost saying that like it's a personal attack.
It is. That's a little much.
Have someone tweeted that at you recently?
We cannot advocate for violence.
No, I agree. Someone clearly tweeted at Sean in the last couple of weeks. You know what? You know what? You should be punched in the face.
Maybe 10 months ago, not recently.
Recently, it's gone away. I think that you're making a big mistake if you're boycotting the Yankees until Dominguez is called up. Because as much as he should be called up, as much as they should give him that opportunity, the Yankees right now are right there in the American League East. They could still win this division. And so they're going to win today, or they have a chance to win today. They're up 3-0 in the ninth inning. You're going to protest it all the way to the postseason?
Sean, are you going to take emotional insurance?
Right now?
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea.
Actually, a brilliant idea.
I'm going to do that, too.
What are the odds?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Depends on who comes in for the ninth.
It's Clay Holmes. I have gotten this right. There's no way they're not going to Clay Holmes. They've already used Cousins and Kane.
So right now, with the Yankees leading 3-0 in the top of the ninth inning, three outs away from a victory, the Chicago Cubs to win this game is plus 1,700.
Wow.
So if you bet $100, you can win $1,700.
I almost have to.
You kind of have to.
And they were pretty good.
Yeah.
$1,700?
Yeah.
I'm in.
And I think Sean may actually be right.
I mean, just bet 10 and win 170.
You can do that. Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. And then it's all going on the Giants Sunday.
Exactly.
You can be as responsible.
And if they win, you only lose 10 bucks.
Right.
Good way to look at it. But here's the problem. Do you really think the odds are changing if Clay Holmes comes into the game? It's going to go from plus 1,700 to...
It's actually plus 2,000 now.
Oh, wow. How about that? There you go.
Something happened.
By the way, that is a problem with live betting sporting events that I have noticed, because we have the game on here on my tablet, but it's on a streaming service. So there's a delay whenever you watch things on streaming services.
Right, so we don't know what has happened as soon as we're making...
Right, and the lines on your gambling websites change before you see what's happened. So to me, just to give some friendly advice, of course, always in a responsible way, the only time you can really live bet a game...
Is if you're there.
It's not going to be Clay Holmes either.
Really? Who's coming in for the ninth inning?
Luke Weaver is warming up.
How about that? You see? So that I told you.
You'll be wasting your money.
Oh, you think Luke's going to make it easy?
Yeah.
I heard he placed the bet.
I think give Aaron Boone credit for this, or give the fans credit for this. They finally convinced the New York Yankees to not go to Clay Holmes.
Shamed them.
In a save situation. Now, Luke Weaver better save this freaking game. Luke Weaver better not put guys on base to the point where Boone's got to go to Clay Holmes.
Isn't that going
to
be the irony? Two guys on, then Clay Holmes comes in for the save.
Imagine that.
We're leaning into kicking ass.
Let's go to Joe on Long Island. Hey, Joe.
What up, Joe?
Hey, guys. A little bit of a rickety segue, I suppose, but you guys were talking about the logo on the middle of the field for the season for the Giants, and they missed an opportunity to include the – you remember the old logo they used to have at Giant Stadium? It was like that red circle.
The Meadowlands.
The New Jersey logo, the Meadowlands logo.
Yeah, yeah.
Should have brought that back. That would have been perfect.
Why?
It's iconic, though. It's part of their 100-year tradition.
Yeah. You know,
I get what he's saying.
There are things in our sports history. Like, for example, I was looking at one right before I drove in here. Every time I come to MetLife Stadium, I look at the dead body of the Continental Airlines Arena. Right? Think about
Which
that.
Which is still there, it amazingly.
That's why I say it's the dead body. Like, usually when an arena or a stadium goes away, it's gone. Like, it's dead and it's gone. Like, you don't see it. Imagine pulling up to Yankee Stadium and seeing the old Yankee Stadium basically decapitated or dilapidated is the word I was looking for.
Decapitated.
No, I didn't mean decapitated. I apologize. Dilapidated.
Is it dilapidated?
Dilapidated. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You got there, Ev.
Like, that would be very depressing. Every time I come to MetLife Stadium, I see the Izod Center, the former home of the New Jersey Devils and the New Jersey Nets, and it's sitting there looking so sad and beaten up and, like, torn apart. And I don't want to celebrate that. Like, I'm not going to look at that and say, oh, it's beautiful. So basically what our last caller is suggesting is to take the logo from Giant Stadium, and I like Giant Stadium, I'm not against it, but putting that boring, dull Meadowlands logo on the middle of the field.
Oh, hold on.
I don't want to do that.
I know which one. The one with the stadium. That has,
yeah.
The outline of the stadium.
You don't want that, TK.
No, but it was actually kind of cool. When
different.
I think about it, it was different.
By the way, things after a long time that were ugly and stale become cool in hindsight.
Yes.
That's all that would be. A little hat tip.
Right. And especially if it's fresh. Like
right.
The old Giant helmets, like the NY, I mean the it's NY now, but when it was Giants, remember it was Giants?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. When I used to look at those helmets, they felt like dull.
Yeah, and now they pop when they bring them back.
And so now they pop because the blue is different. You know
what
I mean? So the blue is still the blue that the Giants use now, not the old darker blue, darker hue of blue. It's this iridescent blue with the Giants on it, and it looks amazing.
How do you spell iridescent? Go ahead, Sean.
Iridescent. I-R-R-E-D-E-S-C-E-N-D-T.
Oh, you had it except for the D.
I thought there was a weird thing there. But I was close.
Now can you tell me what it means?
Iridescent means when the lights above you, I don't know what it means.
It's like shimmery.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with what you said, Teak, that older logos that you may have not liked at the time look better when it's brought back.
Right, and they church it up.
I completely agree. I disagree when it comes to the logo.
It's like you today. You're churched up, Sean.
Damn right. Mr. Mara's going to understand what a man fan I am.
Yes, John Mara later on in the show with Sean Morash wearing a suit and tie. Looking very good.
Thank you.
Proud of you. Let's go to Stan calling from Westport, Connecticut. How are you, Stan?
Good, gentlemen. Evan, I just want to assure you that Atlanta has no chance in this end of season run. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
I called when you were in London
to
talk to Tiki and Sean.
Okay.
And I told them the Mets were not only going to win 88 games minimum, but they were going to be in the wild card. And when I explained it to Tiki why, he totally understood. If you recall, Tiki, the statistical smoothing, the Mets were not a 400 team on May 29th. They were a 600 team, which they've proven. They're playing 635 ball since May 29th. That's a lot. That's more than half a season.
Okay.
So that's the real Mets. Now, here's the real Braves. The real Braves are only two games over 500 in that stretch, and they've had two six-game losing streaks in that stretch in July and August. They've gone
so you're saying,
twice.
Based on, here's your logic to tell me why, don't worry, Mets and Braves may be tied now, Mets will finish ahead of Atlanta, that the Braves and the Mets will play over the final 21 games of the season to the exact same clip that they've played over the last 3 months. But you're excluding the first 2 months because that wasn't real. What you've done, sir, and I hope you're right.
But it was not real for the Mets. I think that's what his point
is. But that's selective statistics, basically.
Of course it is. But it is true for the Mets.
Yes, they've been great since that point. In fact, it's funny that he says since they went to London. I was thinking about this recently. Where did the Mets season turn? And it's actually a really interesting debate. Like, what was the day? And there's so many little different options. Obviously, Jorge Lopez throwing his glove is certainly an option. And then the next night, they played that night. I'll never forget it. I went to Mets Diamondbacks. I took my wife. Loogie's wife was there. Not together.
No,
but
you
I
didn't
remember,
take my wife to the game.
But she was there. And Sean couldn't believe I was going because it was the night of a Ranger playoff game.
But
and
it was also a birthday party, correct?
It was a friend's birthday.
I don't know why we remember that.
Because it turned their season around, apparently.
I don't know.
They won that game.
You turned their season around by going for a birthday party?
No, I'm not saying we turned the season around. That's very, like, self-lionizing. I'm saying that I'm looking for the moment where things turn.
Yes.
So you could say, well, they won that game, but then they also lost a brutal game to end that series. Like, where did it really turn? I think the second game in London, the Luis Torrens game, and I'm sorry, Loogie and I have talked about this off air. This is going to make some Met fans feel very uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
It's going to make some people at the fan very uncomfortable. But we have to be honest about something. If the Mets win the World Series and they agree that that second London game was why things turned around, then Michael Kay's voice is going to be on the Mets DVD. I'm sorry.
That's interesting.
He made the final call. Now, they could go to the British guy. They could go to the British guy.
They're not going to go to the British guy. Kay's on the DVD.
Yeah.
They don't even have DVDs anymore.
Do we have DVDs anymore?
But will they make that? Will that be the moment?
I believe looking back on things,
and I think common fandom, is saying the Lopez incident.
Right, but that was a loss. Like, when did they start turning? They had the team meeting after. Like, you're right in terms of the season turn, but was there a game where things turned? Like a win where things turned it. And I've got like five of them that I could argue. Mm. One of them is the London game. The other one is the comeback against the Marlins. JD home run. They won the series against the Marlins.
Guys.
That was when Positive Tommy really started.
Because
I wanted to punch you that day.
You wanted to punch me?
Yeah, you pissed me off.
More punching in the face? Can everybody relax?
But I wouldn't do it because I love him. I'm saying I wanted to.
Well, the Thursday game, obviously, after the Corbin Carroll home run and the win against the Diamondbacks, which really
that didn't turn their season around, though.
It didn't, but
it's a big moment, but that's not turned the
season around. It'll have the recency bias, too, where it felt like it propelled them into October and then to a World
Series. Are you guys so serious right now?
And then, obviously, last time I checked, let me see here. Oh, 4-0 over the Yankees.
Great. That's cute that you made the Yankee joke there, Tommy. We appreciated that dynamite drop-in, but the truth is...
Okay. Hey, Bob Uecker.
I mean, you dress like my Uncle Fred at a wedding, and you're going to make a joke now?
That's right. Uncle Fred
enlighten
dressed
the
well.
Met fans on where our season turned
out. You do look good, though, Sean.
Thank you, Tiki. when that DVD comes out, you guys can talk about Terenz, all this. It's going to be Grimace throwing out the first pitch. Because that was the moment.
Because TMZ told me he was found dead in an alley somewhere. Grimace died a while ago. That was a fad.
OMG, that turned the season.
I thought that
it did,
Grimace.
But I think it was Fugazi.
But that will be on that DVD. That'll be the moment.
Because the real turning of the season was OMG. It was all behind the scenes. We just didn't know it. We weren't aware of it. We didn't have access. We weren't privy.
We weren't aware. But Tiki is right. Like, the OMG thing rallied the team together. Plus, Grimace died. You know who killed Grimace? Haktua girl.
By the way, say what you want. Horrible loss, which was the first pitch. Red hot since.
That's true.
Yeah, no, they have been red hot.
That was their turnaround.
The Haktua Mets are like 10-1, I think.
Yeah, I wouldn't look at the big wins recently because they've proven that they're good. I think it's when this season went from a year that felt like any other, they just suck, to them turning it around. And I think there's a handful of games during that time period in early June that you could point to. But honestly, that win in London against the Phillies, it was kind of crazy. I mean, Luis Torrens turning the most stunning double play ever. And it wasn't even the most inspiring win, but they beat the Phillies. And their run began right after that because they did win 2 out of 3 against Miami. They swept San Diego right after that, and they got red hot. Either way, they still have to make the playoffs. They are tied now with Atlanta because of the help last night. They are only 2 games behind Arizona and San Diego, who they both have tiebreakers against. Like, the Mets have the tiebreaker against both of those teams, but now you got to finish the job. And what's really challenging, they've won 7 in a row. It's been amazing. Winning streaks end. How do you respond to that? So, A, how long can this streak go? And then, B, what happens when they finally lose? Every game is a playoff.
But, Evan, you've talked about all the big wins this year. Let's talk about the gut punching losses.
Oh, tons of them.
And every single time they've responded. Every single time, absolutely. Which is a credit to Mendy. It's a credit to the guys in the locker room. Although, by the way, Tiki, I was told this core could not win, yet they are winning, yet they do have heart.
Yeah, you know who also said that? You said that.
No, I never said that.
I never said that.
No. You're talking to positive Tommy right now. Negative Tommy perhaps said there was problems in the locker room.
Negative Tommy did.
He did.
Trust me, I know who's on my list of the Mets have a horrible core. It's my man Sal. It's Sean Morash. It's Tommy Lugauer. You three are on the Mount Rushmore of, like, the core's broken. Now, I forgive Tommy and Sal. You want to know why? Because you guys are Mets fans, and that's fine. Hey, Sean, I'll never forgive.
Hey, doofus, the core changed this year, and Jose Iglesias and his OMG weren't on the team last year. It seemed to be a big deal this year.
Right,
yeah, you can't bring back old stuff. You can't bring back stuff from 2024.
Thank you. Shawnee's right.
Well, I thought Tiki was agreeing with me with that.
I am, but you can't bring back old stuff, Evan.
Oh, wait, so you're not agreeing with
me? I'm not.
Very confused.
Just because he thought the core was broken last
year. Allegedly.
It was all
that
fake.
Pete was bad for the locker room and yada, 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 and whatever else. You can't bring that back. That was last year's take.
Yes. Well,
I like a sensible Tiki. I think that's what I like here.
I miss bad Tiki. Where's he at?
We're going to get cocktail hour Tiki
every Thursday.
We will make our NFL picks coming up right around 5:25. When we come back, we've got week one in the NFL, and we are excited. Can the New York Giants start this season 1-0? Plus, what are the other games we're pumped up about?
Plus a Cinco.
I forgot about that. And a Cinco de 5-0. How could I ever forget that? You do it every day, and you do it so marvelously.
It's
a lot to do
money!
Live from the Legacy Club here at MetLife Stadium, the site of Giants Fan Fest.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.